Hi everyone. Ram's webinar today is part of the Future of Coaching series. And we would love to hear any questions you've been afraid to ask about coaching.
Okay. So from an earlier mail that Magda sent me, I have a few questions, maybe two or three. I'll keep it in the bank as it were. But if there are any questions that any of you have, when we say that questions that you are afraid to ask, it's not just that you're afraid to ask a client. It could be questions that which cause you, or situations which cause you frustration. You don't know what to ask. There are certain patterns which are repeating. So the whole idea of having this session as a series of a few sessions is to introduce you to supervision a bit in terms of going about process of coaching and not just about the skill sets and the PCC markers and the framework of coaching. It's about coaching a coach in coaching, what's really going on between you and the client. And that's what I wanted to convey when I asked about what we wanted to talk about in this format. What is it that frustrates you, irritates you, makes you afraid or anxious in coaching? What is it that is coming up for you? So if any of you have any specific questions at this point in time, if you can put it up on the chat box, I can invite you over to the panel and we can have a discussion. I can have that with two or three of you, maybe take about 10 or 15 minutes each. And we could have it as a supervision session, as it were, to go into details of why it is causing you the frustration and what is it that you may be able to do differently so that you are comfortable with that situation. Saurabh Gupta, you're saying, I would be interested in knowing your estimate. What's a dollar side of the... Okay, maybe we can talk about it. I have no idea, to be honest. I mean, you're asking me the global figure and all that. I absolutely no idea. ICF publishes these figures. What I'm talking about here is really about specifically in a session with the client. This is not really a business development session. Maybe by estimates, it could be a few billion dollars. And whether it is only with credentialed coaches or with anybody who calls himself or herself a coach, whether it includes counseling and so on, I wouldn't really know. So Amit, but what to do if the client keeps coming back with the same topic, same discussion point in each session? Coaching in Hindi and vernacular, Mohan, okay. The point is, if you're not familiar in a language, somebody else also asked about even in coaching in English, it's very possible that the other person doesn't quite understand you, or maybe the coach's ability in idiomatic language is not exactly the same, or it could be even in certain cultural nuances. These could be different, certain words are not being used. So again, that is something which, unless you are comfortable in that language, as good as a native speaker, I wouldn't advise that you really coach in that language or coach in a language where the culture is similar to you. If you're an Indian coaching another Indian in English, because you understand the accent, but you may not understand the accent of another person from America, something like that, so you're going to have a problem. So I really want to get into something more specific than these things in terms of what is really coming up. Would love to get your thoughts on strong emotion and coaching sessions. Yes, Jennifer, I think that's absolutely fine. If you are okay to come on the panel, I could invite you on the panel. We can talk about it. I don't need coaching. There is nothing wrong with me. Coaching is a want or a need. If a client says, I don't need coaching, you can't coach that person. You're not going to force feed a client into coaching. So I don't think that question really, I'm sorry being direct here. If someone turns around and saying, okay, I don't think I need coaching. Many of the chief executives do that. I don't need to be coached. I don't need to change. Other people need to change. So you really can't coach them. What are you going to do? Beat them on the head, put them in a chair, tie them up, and coach them? That doesn't work. So, but let me go with Jennifer's question from now. And it truly, if in a coaching situation where you have a paid coach, a coach who's paying, a client who's paying you, and in that process, you are coming across certain difficulties, like Jennifer is saying here, in terms of emotions in coaching sessions, I would like to go into it a little deeper. Things like that, if they come up. So for now, let me invite Jennifer. Jennifer, are you okay to come on to the panel and have a conversation with me before I invite you? Yeah, sure. Okay, great. Thank you. Jennifer, go and chat. Magda, am I co-host?
You are, but I just invited Jennifer, so I'm just too fast for you.
So I'm not able to, I don't have a...
Can't invite them? Okay, sorry. But yeah. She's here anyway. Hi, Jen.
So yeah.
Hi. I had to get myself ready.
You look great.
Okay, so otherwise, Magda, you need to stick around or sort of put me on.
I'll be here. I'll be the ghost in the machine.
Okay. Okay, Jennifer, let's start with this. I mean, this is a... I would say it's a fairly common problem. Now, the question that you asked, let me get that understanding correctly from you. Would love to get your thoughts on strong emotion and coaching session. What's the real issue here? Is it that you are not able to handle strong emotions from a client? Or you're not able to decipher strong emotions from what the client says verbally or non-verbally? What exactly are you referring to?
So what I'm experiencing is that when strong emotions come up, I don't get immersed in others' emotions. I tend to be very calm and very neutral and centered when they come up, which I think is good. On the other hand, I also feel like it, and I'm curious about others' experiences, if reflecting the strong emotion in some way without necessarily getting, tied up in others' emotions, but reflecting that emotion energetically, allowing that might allow others to feel their emotions a little more than the neutrality with which I reflect it. You know, it's like, that's really terrible for you. That sounds awful, but it feels as though there might be something more that I can do before I say, help folks to move through it and move forward, basically. So just sitting in that emotion a little bit longer, and I'm wondering how other people go about doing that and what their thoughts and theories are around that.
Okay, let's not worry about other people. Let's just...
Yeah, you, sorry, you.
Okay, but focus on you, more importantly. What I'm curious about is, why do you think it is necessary for you to feel the emotion that the client is feeling to be able to go deeper in inquiry?
Why indeed? And, a part of me feels that, most of me actually feels that it's a good idea not to feel that emotion and not to get enmeshed. That feels right to me. What I'm wondering is if there's some way to express and reflect the client's emotion better or in a different way, so that they can fully move through that emotion, so they can move forward. So, you know, as it is right now, I feel like it would be a good, I would like to be able to reflect back their emotion in another way, a more powerful way, but not necessarily get immersed and feel it. That's a little different. Do you know what I mean?
Sure. Okay. So In Coacharya, we recommend a process which we, as an acronym, term it as LASI, listen to the verbal and nonverbal expressions of the client, acknowledge it so that you repeat what the client is saying, so the client feels comforted and safe that what the client is saying is what is being understood by the coach. And then S is sense and share, whatever you are sensing at that point in time, and you share that. So now when you say, I reflect, there's a slight difference between the sensing and the reflecting. The sensing can be pretty much what you might call an autonomous automatic response, whereas the reflection may require a certain amount of cognition and analysis of what's happening out there. So let's for a moment assume that we'll come to it separately, that reflection in terms of cognitively evaluating what the client is saying is not necessary, but maybe sensing and sharing it with the client will give the client a better sense of, yes, this person is looking at it this way or another way, and then inquire. So to go a little deeper in this, can you just give me an example of an experience where this came up for you?
Yes. I was coaching an individual who's very motivated, very performance oriented. And this client was feeling a lot of contraction around, am I doing enough? And was tearful and very emotional around that feeling of, am I doing enough? And and that would have, I really like what you're saying, you know, the sensing piece, the feeling piece, and basically giving that person what I'm sensing.
Okay. So would have been let's take it to a logical conclusion. So if that person, as you said, was feeling some kind of an emotional stress and something was happening out there, and you understood that based on certain verbal expressions or nonverbal cues or a combination of both, what were the words used and what was it that the client may have, the voice tone or facial expression? What are the totality of it that led you to feel that the client was going through that strong emotion?
I heard through her tone of voice, her feeling of confusion, and sensed her fear, and sensed her misunderstanding of her own motivations.
Okay, I'm sorry to sound like cross-examining you, but what were the words that were used that created that sense?
She actually said, yeah, she said, I feel like I'm contracting, I feel tearful, I feel like I'm gonna cry.
Right.
Yeah.
So supposing if I were the client and I said to you that I'm contracting, I'm feeling stuck, or I'm feeling tearful, I'm sensing whatever that the client said, let's say if you were to use that LASI technique of listening and the verbal cues, the tonal cues, etc. And how would you, forget about the sensing for a moment, how would you express it as an acknowledgement? What would you say to the client so that the client feels that you are essentially understanding what the client has said? Mm-hmm.
So you're having a lot of powerful feelings around where you want to go.
Okay. But that's not what you heard. The client said, I'm contracting. The client said, I'm tearing, or I feel tearful, or something else. That's what the client said. So what you just now said is your interpretation of the client is thinking. It's not an acknowledgement. So supposing you were to put it in words, as I listen to you, I hear you say, what would you say if you were to complete that sentence?
As I hear you, as I listen to you, what I hear you say is, you're feeling really fearful and sad.
No, just use the words that the client used.
Okay. What I hear you saying is that you are contracting, that you're feeling tearful.
Right. Having said that, you might either stop and say, would that be correct, if necessary? Then you can add, based on what you said, this is what I sense. Not reflect, this is what I sense. So if you were to, for a moment, just put yourself in that situation as you're listening to that person, if that person says, I'm tearful, and the voice is tearful, I'm contracting, and the person's shrinking, maybe physically, I don't know what happened. What would you be sensing at that time to share the client? What is it that would come out of your mouth without too much thinking, without too much reflection?
Yeah. I'm really sensing your sadness and worry.
Brilliant. So I'm really sensing your sadness and your worry or stress or anxiety or whatever it might be. What would then be an inquiry that could follow? To follow up with that, if you would like to understand the client's perspective better, in the client's mind for a moment.
Tell me about tell me about what else you're feeling.
Yes.
In this worry you're experiencing. Yeah.
Right. Tell me about what else you're feeling. Tell me about, you could ask, the second step of that kind of a stuff could be, as you experience what you're telling me now, what is it that you're feeling in your body? What is the sensation that is coming up for you?
Mm-hmm.
If she's contracting, she used a very kinesthetic word, right? It's not a pure emotional word. It's a kinesthetic word. Contracting is really physically contracting.
Mm-hmm.
So where do you feel that contraction? And the client can say, wherever, my gut, my throat, my chest, my whatever. And then you can ask the client a very simple question. How would you label that as an emotion?
Mm.
So what we are then bringing in is an addition to this LASI, which is listening, acknowledging. Acknowledging means repeating what the client said, not paraphrasing, repeating just the word that the client has used. So the client feels respected that you are using her words, not referring to your high-level dictionary and using whatever words you want to describe her, and then sense exactly like you sense that I feel the sadness in you, and inquiring what more is coming up for you. Or you can use a process called SET, which is sensations, emotions, and thoughts in that order. Because when a client, however well-meaning, is telling you something, the cognition, neuroscience-wise, the first thing that happens when you experience something is a sensory perception through whatever the visual sensory perceptors or audio sensory perceptors or whoever, that goes into a part of the brain called the hypothalamus and amygdala. And only after it is processed, it goes into the frontal cortex in terms of thinking. What comes first is the emotion. What comes even before that is a sensation associated with the emotion. Thoughts can lie. Thoughts can be manipulated by the ego in the frontal cortex system based on what you already are in a personality. Whereas the much less chances, the sensations and emotions lie. You get a better quality of truth, as it were, by going deeper into the sensations first and the emotions. So you ask a question, where do you sense it? How do you sense it? Especially if the client, as you said, used a word like contracting or expanding or shrinking or struggling. All of them denote some kind of a movement. They denote a kinesthetic experience. What is the sensation? Where are you feeling it? And then what is it that your emotion is? You don't need to know anything about it. Just ask that question. You don't have to feel anything. Just ask the question. Based on that, the client says, okay, I'm feeling frustrated or I'm feeling angry sometimes. It's possible. I may be contracting. I may be tearful, but I may be burning with anger. And I want to take it out some way. It could be that. And this client says, it's coming up from my gut or wherever. And then you can say, ask a simple question. Now that you are in that space and that is disempowering you, what is it that you would like to go to? Which is a very, very simple question on agreement. The first question, what is it that you want as an outcome in the session? Mm-hmm. It can very, very simply lead into that, even right in the beginning, if that is what the client is saying. Mm-hmm. Would that make sense to you?
For me, are you asking me, or is that a hypothetical question for the client?
No, I'm asking you. If in your situation,
it makes a lot of sense, actually, and it really gets to the question that I had, because I definitely felt as though I was missing something, and what you just provided me with is a method for going, you know, in a very evidence-based way, going into the brain. And going into the sensory before going into, you know, the emotion, and then asking, getting sort of picking our heads up out and looking around and say, where do we want to go from here with that knowledge? And that's really valuable. Thank you.
Okay. That's a pleasure. In the process, what you're really doing is leading up to establishing a contract with a client, if it's still in the very preliminary stages. You're also establishing a sense of trust with the client because you are acknowledging what the client is saying, you are sensing it and allowing the client to contradict it, change it, whatever client wants. You are establishing partnering, which is presence. You are deeply listening, not just to the verbal, but the non-verbal cues. And then you are exploring directly to create an awareness in the client. What is happening? So pretty much every single competency in the framework, including the coaching mindset in the new framework, up to the point of action, a simple process right in the beginning can help you cover this. All that you really have to do is to follow these two simple, simple acronyms, as it were, LASI, listen, acknowledge, sense and share, and inquire. And as you inquire into sensations, emotions, and thoughts. And that is all that you need. So while you're still here, is there anything else that is causing you sleepless nights, as it were?
You know, that is really, really what's been on my mind. And you know, since I didn't do my full coach training with Coach Arya, I'm sort of regretting it a little bit because I would have gotten some of that, it sounds like, in the training. So thank you for that.
Okay, you can stay on and let me see who else. Farha Marathi, you said, should I expect from the session? How would I benefit? Some opening questions from them. Idiomatic expression. Nowadays, we see 2 to 3 hours webinars a life coach. I don't know. I mean, these are not questions about what is really bothering you. If you're really asking about the profession and so on, okay, we can do it separately. Okay, Rajesh, let me get you on this, which is also similar. And let's focus on the emotional part of it today. Rajesh, okay, allowed to talk. Yeah. Hey, Rajesh.
Hi, Ram.
Yeah, hi. If your bandwidth is sufficient, you can come on video, but it's up to you what you want to do. So can you just expand a little bit about the question? How does one handle a client who is not comfortable dealing with emotions? Can you give me your live experience of what's happening around there?
Ram, I can share it. I don't know how to put myself on video because I don't have that function here that says it.
Okay, it doesn't matter. That's okay. Yeah.
Okay. One of the things that recently happened was working with a client who would, for lack of a better word, more focused on the rational processing of the conversation. So a lot of questions would then be about, very comfort level would be very high if it was about things that had to be thought of in terms of a rational process. The moment I would get into feeling, how are you feeling about it? And can you, it would just be, I don't know, I can't feel anything. So, and then-
Rajesh, can you tell me what the client actually said? Don't interpret what the client is saying. What did the client say to you? When you say, I'm not familiar with too many clients who use words like rational processing. I don't even know what.
Sure, I can talk about the exact thing that happened, Ram.
Yeah.
The question was, for that particular issue that was being discussed with the client, the client said that I'm facing an issue of how to, I seem to have a lot of time on hand and I don't really know what to do with so much time. Suddenly that's opened up for me.
Okay.
And I'm feeling a bit lost with this extra time on my hands. And for me, the question was, so what does feeling lost mean for you? And then there was dead silence. And the question was, I don't know what that means. What is the feeling of being lost? You know? So it took me some time and the conversation sort of went a little bit 5-10 minutes meandering because, and later on at the end of the session, the feedback was that I was not very comfortable with the question of feeling of lost because I couldn't process it. So that's where I was thinking whether did it go wrong on my part to bring in the aspect of feeling, or could it have just been that what's going on there in terms of some extra time, what would you like to do with that extra time?
Yeah, no, possibly, I don't know. What you're saying the client said is, look, I've got more time than I know what to do with.
Right.
And so the client said, I'm lost, or whatever it is.
Right.
I'm lost in terms of what to do about it. So your question, you interpreted that as, when you said the feeling of lost, is it because you wanted to sort of score a marker which talked about emotions, or genuinely you felt that there was some emotion from the way that the client expressed this? Was there anything else in what the client said which sort of connoted that there was an emotion involved?
Yeah, I sensed, Ram, that there was a thing about suddenly I'm confronted with this strange situation. So far, everything is going clockwork. I know exactly what to do with my time in a day. Suddenly I'm confronted with so much and I don't know what to do with it, you know?
Okay.
So I felt there was some sense of churn inside. I was trying to get into the space of feelings. Perhaps I realized that maybe it was not a great entry point because the client didn't seem to be comfortable dealing it from a lens of feelings.
Right. Okay. So it's very possible that you, like we said earlier, you use the word, you listen, and the client said this, and you acknowledge the word lost. And you said that you sense something there, you felt there was an emotion out there. And so you asked the client, what is it that you're feeling about this lost? And it took some time, doesn't matter, but it's a very good learning experience if that's what the client felt. So having gone through that experience and knowing that the client was finding it difficult to process that word lost, as you put it, rationally or emotionally. What else would you this time try if a similar situation occurred?
I would just ask, what's behind this feeling of what's behind this this feeling of loss that you are experiencing? I wouldn't get into explaining what's the feeling of being lost. What's the feeling behind this thing that you're experiencing now?
Okay. But tell me, Rajesh, already the client has sort of reacted to you negatively about the feeling part of it. Though you are interpreting this as a rational processing or whatever, the response of the client saying that, look, I can't explain to you because I can't express what it is about it that I'm feeling being lost. Maybe because the client is not feeling anything. It's just an expression that the client used. So okay, instead of using the word feeling, if you were to just ask, you said that you're feeling lost. So can you explain to me a little more about what does that lost mean? What's happening to you? What are you really experiencing at that point in time?
Okay. Yeah, I think that's a very valuable suggestion. I shouldn't have used the word feeling because that was given to me as a feedback at the end of the session about the word feeling having put him off. But at that point of time, it was not articulated to me that there was discomfort around feeling. It was a little bit of a confusion on the client's face. And he looked a bit looking into space. And I asked him, is something going on? Because you were looking. He said, yeah, I'm not understanding. You know, I'm not able to answer that question.
Mm-hmm. Okay. But immediately after, you said it was a bit of a meandering and then the client gave you this feedback. But was it during the session itself or it was at the end of the session?
It was the end of the session. And Ram, that made me really reflect after that perhaps my foray into getting into the feeling zone was not warranted because the client, like you rightly said, was not probably feeling anything. And I just took the word of the lost as a feeling and it became my sort of interpretation of it, rather than what the client was going through.
Yeah, see, this is, okay. This is one of the problems when you are learning as a coach, because the PCC markers, several of them refer to that you need to ask about the emotions. So, and people generally assume that if you ask a question about what are you feeling, that actually sort of marks that marker. The answer is no. Just because you've used the word feeling, the assessor is not just going to say the whatever that marker is, I don't remember now, 5.3, it used to be in the olden one and now it's 6 point something, that you are inquiring into emotions, unless you are going deeper into it. What is causing it? So there are two ways of doing it. One is follow the same sequence that you followed in terms of listening, acknowledging, and sensing.
Right.
That looks, you said that you're feeling lost. It seems to be that you may be feeling confused. I've sensed that you are feeling confused. So as you experience this, that particular experience of finding a lot of time and what not to do with it or what to do with it, etc. Where is the sensation? What is the sensation that is coming up for you?
Mm-hmm.
It's possible that the client may say, duh, mm-hmm. What nonsensical question are you asking? It's possible. But then you can explain to the client that this is what you said. And if you are in that space, is there anything that you feel in your body? And is there an emotion attached with it? So if you genuinely believe in your gut that the client was saying, mainly because of perhaps the voice tone or something else that the client was saying, that there was a feeling in it and that's what you authentically believe it is, it's okay to go into it. But at the same time, you must realize that any coaching is about not knowing. you can't be sure that what you're asking is going to be correct. So you've got to be completely be non-judgmental about it. If the client says, okay, it doesn't sit well with me, the only way to say is, okay, what else could I have asked at that point in time that would have made more sense to you? Because this is what you said. That would be a useful way of coming back. If the client says, look, I don't know, your answer with vulnerability can be to say that I don't know either. So if you are experiencing that kind of a situation, what is really going on in your mind? What needs to happen? Or something which will help the client move forward.
Thank you so much. That really opens up a very different way of thinking about this.
Okay. So is there anything else that you are having a problem with? Any other things which repeat? Anything else that may make you feel that you are unable to handle? Is there anything else that is coming up?
No, Ram, at this point of time, this was what was immediately on my mind. It was recent. And thank you for clarifying that.
Sure. Jennifer, do you have any additional things to say about what Rajesh has just talked about? Because it's sort of relates to what you asked, not quite, but anything that is coming up for you?
Well, yes, what he was saying about emotion. I don't have any emotion, my client might say, and I haven't gotten to the point where I would be privileged enough to have somebody resist an exploration of emotion in that way to really dig in. And so what else could I have asked that might, if the emotion isn't there, what else might I have asked to address what you've just said? And that to me feels like progress around where I'm coming from, like getting to that point where I will get some kind of resistance, where I can move deeper and ask a powerful question to get deeper.
That's a great observation. I mean, what you're basically saying is, even if the client disagrees with you, and especially if the client disagrees with you, it's a great movement forward. Mm-hmm. Because the client is doing something very constructive. It's not about having to agree with you. I very much wish most of the time the client is able to say, hey, no, what you're saying is wrong. This is not how I feel. I feel differently. So then it just opens up another vista for us to move into. And that's really what is required. But the bigger picture is, yes, if, like, for example, the example that you quoted, contracting, tearful, and something else, etc., these are clearly emotional triggers. And therefore, when you acknowledge them in the words that the client used, and this is what I sense, and inquire into it, and especially if you use the sensations, emotions, and thoughts, somebody asked, what is ACT? It is sensations, emotions, and thoughts. It's a very, very old organizational development framework. It came from organizational development labs and so on. What are the body emotions first, and then the body sensations first, and the emotions from the hypothalamus and amygdala, and then what are the thoughts from the frontal cortex? But there are many times where Rajesh could be right. There is always an underlying emotion which triggers a situation where you are uncomfortable. If the client is saying, I have so much of time, I don't know what to do. So it's like the client is feeling, I'm losing an opportunity. And that frustrates me, that irritates me, that stresses me. If I'm an alpha person, it would certainly stress me. See, so much of a thing out there, opportunity, but I'm not able to make use of it. I would do so much better with it. But the client may not be ready to face that as an emotion at that point in time. So Rajesh, to come back to what you said, you may have been absolutely right, but the client was not ready to admit it.
Ram, I in fact, just to add to your point, what the client actually said in his words was, I suddenly seem to have a void and I don't know how to fill that void.
Okay. Which is a very powerful word, which is far more powerful than lost. And the void, certainly, you're 100% correct. There is an emotional or a sensation aspect to it. But you as a coach, you should be prepared to use multiple pathways to reach there if one fails.
Okay. Yeah.
So the void is, again, because of the fact I have worked on this for a substantially longer period of time, is a very kinesthetic word.
Yeah.
It's like, if I'm in a void, the sensation of a void is actually falling down into a deep abyss.
Yeah.
That's what the void is. It's more than just being lost. So there is a sensation, there is an emotion in it. But if the client is not ready to face it, whatever you try, it's going to take time. So your gut feel is correct, but you may have to go around it in a different way, somewhat elliptically, to be able to reach there.
Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah. Okay. The reason I'm not sending you back into the audience is, and now I'll have to locate the buttons for it. Okay. Gadir Zalatimor, I'll get you on here. Gadir, where are you? Okay, allowed to talk. You ask a question. Hello.
Hi, Ram.
Yeah, okay. Did I get your name right?
Yes, you did. Thank you.
Okay, so you say I have a problem separating consulting from coaching.
Yes.
So can you explain to me more about it?
Yes. I used to do consulting and advising in my past job. I started off early as a teacher and then moved into consulting and training and advising. And now I'm moving into coaching, which is kind of like the opposite. We just listen and ask. And I find it extremely difficult to separate. You know, sometimes I feel the client would really need some advice, but my understanding is, as a coach, we're not allowed to give advice. We can only ask the questions and allow them the chance to come up with that. And are there instances when we are allowed to give perhaps some advice when, you know, it's really heavy?
Mm-hmm. Okay, let me address this indirectly. Why did you want to become a coach when your background is consulting? What is it that prompted you or is prompting you?
So, yes, I wanted to become a coach because I don't have all the answers as a consultant. And I do feel, you know, I do feel that in coaching, we're helping people become the better version, but we don't have to know everything. You know, they're the specialists in their area. So we come and help them find those answers and find those strengths.
Okay. So let's start with, I don't have all the answers as a consultant. So what answers do you really have? And where do you get those answers from?
So it's not that I have answers to them, but for example, it's not an answer, possibly advice. You know, when the client is, and I'm trying to turn on my camera for you, and I don't know how to turn it on.
That's okay. Don't worry about it.
Yeah. So it's, for example, when a client has a problem with one of his reports, you know, I kind of want to, you know, advise and say, you know, have you, the problem with those guided questions, you know, have you, you know, asked him this or have you asked him that, you know, when I've asked the client a number of times and we're not getting to anywhere. And then I feel like I want to ask him that guided question, you know, have you asked him to do so and so. And that's where the advice comes. It's not that I'm giving them advice on their industry.
No, I'm asking a slightly different question. When you do find answers to some of the client's issues or problems as a consultant, where do those answers come from generally?
From the client.
very usually from the client. Okay.
Yes.
Because unless they really come from the client, unless you are a kind of Leonardo da Vinci, Behemoth or whatever moth that it is, you know everything about everything. You know, don't know what the situation of the client is. You need to explore. And that's why they say that the consultant is one who looks at the client's watch and tells him the time, and he charges for it. Be as it may, ultimately the answers are coming from the client. So there is clearly an overlapping element between coaching and consulting, which many credentialing institutions do not want to admit when they keep talking about the differentiation between coaching and mentoring, coaching and consulting, coaching and counseling, and so on. I would strongly suggest that you have a chance to read Edgar Schein, two books of his. One is called The Humble Inquiry, another one is on process consulting. I don't remember the exact name of that book, where he talks about how to consult using coaching as an intervention, how to ask these questions, which then probe in into the client exactly the same way that you would do in a coaching situation. At the end of it, you are using the other expertise and experience that you have in a specific domain to connect the dots together. Essentially, what you are doing as a coach is not listen to the client at different points in time and ask searching questions and leave them, which is what many coaches do, unfortunately. But they should be connecting the dots. Constantly, it should be moving towards that endpoint, which is about the outcome that they desire in the session or in a consulting or anything over a period of a time. So whether it is consulting or coaching or counseling or anything, it's about listening to the client and exploring into the client's mind about the situation that is developing as to what is bugging them, what is it that they would like to do better, and so on. And in that process, believe you me, you are right. There are going to be occasions when you will be asking some questions which may seem to be leading. But many people have this idea that, I mean, they're not clear what a leading question is. A leading question is one in which you as a coach, you are actually providing the answer to that person. And that's what a leading question is.
Yeah.
And that is not good coaching.
Mm-hmm.
Because you are basically telling the client what to do. But a question that leads to an answer is not a leading question. By that token, any question that you ask is going to lead to an answer. Supposing I were to ask a person, what is it that you want to achieve at the end of this session? There could be someone who turns around and says, it's a leading question because it leads to an answer, which is moronic. But I've heard some assessors ask that question, believe you me.
So asking the client a question, Ram, like, the problem also with the, yes or no questions as well, because so say I want to ask the client, what would you think of giving the employee, another chance? So yes, the client would say yes or no. True, it's only a yes or no question, but I could build on that and saying, well, if yes, well, how would you give him a second chance? And if he says no, then I would say,
You are absolutely right.
Gary.
There are many questions where potentially the client could climb up and say yes or no, which is a close question.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, but your intention may not be that the closer. Therefore, if you are running into that situation often because of perhaps the way that you phrase those questions, learn to phrase them differently.
Mm.
So instead of saying, when the employee does this, this is what you would do, right? And the client would have pretty much pushed to say yes or no. Why don't you just say, what would you do?
Yeah.
Why don't you make it open? See, in a leading question, most questions which people talk about as leading are not leading questions unless they have an answer built into them.
Mm.
But closed questions are very often closed questions because of the way that you ask them. You have no excuse to ask closed questions. You can always change any closed question. A closed question is like, oh, will you come with me to dinner or not? You say yes or no. Hey, what do you think about having dinner? That's an open question. You always have a choice to move into an open question, and it's always better because that is what really opens up the client.
Yes.
Okay. But think about it. The other thing that I want to say is, when you get into systemic work, I'm hopefully, if we continue this in the next session, similar questions, I would like to get into that space. Many of these things which we think are uncoach-like, mentoring, consulting, or even counseling and things like that, they may need to be built into it in some way. There's no option to it.
Mm.
You need to, when you are talking about giving solutions, whether it is consulting or mentoring, even mentoring, often people think it's about giving solutions. It's not really. It's about asking questions, which is using your expertise and experience so that you have already connected the dots and you have a certain possibility of knowing that this is maybe happening, and still you ask a question in a not knowing manner. And that would be quite allowed in a systemic work, in a team coaching work and so on. Whereas in an actual coaching session, if it goes beyond a point, it's not. So there is no clear dividing line. But generally, if you are looking at coaching as an extension of consulting, because in consulting, you feel that you lack the scope to be able to explore more into the client. That's the right reason why you want to be a coach.
Mm-hmm.
Read a bit more of Edgar Schein.
Sorry, Ram, what's the writer's name?
Edgar, E-D-G-A-R.
Mm-hmm.
S-C-H-E-I-N.
Okay,
Edgar thank Schein you. Is Professor Emeritus at MIT.
Mm-hmm.
One of his disciples was Peter Senge, Otto Sharma, people like that. And his most famous book is called The Humble Inquiry, at least as far as coaching is concerned. He has written books on, all his books are fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
So read that, it will get you more clarity. And if you have any other questions, please do post them, send them to me at ram@kocharya or support@kocharya, and we can go into it in detail. So. We are pretty much on the top of the hour. I just like to leave with you this. I think this kind of discussion, at least for a few more sessions, would provide a lot of value to many of you, especially those who are not training with Kocharya. You may like to look at the way that we approach things. It may be different from some of the questions that you're asking. And please do send me beforehand. This forum, I don't want to sound rude, but this forum is not about business development. How many billions of dollars is a coaching business? I have no idea. I'm not even interested. So if you want to find it out, probably there are better ways, better places where you can go to find it out. Or something else. Okay, I have a problem with language and how do I do it? And my simple answer is learn that language or don't coach in that language. Because I don't know what else to say. I'm not being difficult. I'm not being rude. In coaching, what I want to focus on is, what is it that you are having as a behavioral issue? I'm not able to grasp emotions. I'm not able to address a client's emotions. If the client cries, I don't know what to do. Or like what Kadir is asking now, consulting and coaching, and in what way can they differ? Those are questions which we can discuss here. So please do send me those kind of questions, which I'm very, very happy to call you into the panel, three or four of you in a session, and go through it. And this could be more like a supervision session where, in fact, you are able to get much better value during this period. Okay. So Yep. Please do to help me to help you. Please send us some questions. We have been asking you. We have sent out many mails, Magda. I know I sent many mails. But if you could just send any questions that you have, issues that you have to support at Coacharya. Thanks a lot, Jennifer. Thanks, Rajesh. Thanks, Kareer, for asking those wonderful questions. And I hope it's been of some value going through this. And if you have more follow-up questions, please do get back to us, okay? Thanks a lot.